بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 32 in our series on the commentary on أعلام السنة المنشورة of Sheikh حافظ الحكمي رحمه الله. In the previous series of questions we've been looking at the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the previous lesson, we looked at the different ways in which the names of Allah are applied or are mentioned in relation to Allah. So they are mentioned as a single name, or they are mentioned as two or more names, or they are mentioned in pairs, where the meaning is such that if it was mentioned on its own, it would imply a deficiency. So for example, النافع والدار, the one who benefits and the one who harms, by way of example. And المعطي والمانع, the one who gives and the one who prevents or withholds. So names which are like this. And then certain actions which are mentioned in relation to the actions of men. So from them is that Allah Azza wa Jal, as He says, "Inna min al-mujrimina muntaqimun," that we take revenge from the criminals. So here the taking of revenge is mentioned in relation to the criminals. And other examples were given, makar, which is plotting and planning, and kaid, again similar, plotting and planning. So these things are mentioned in relation to the actions of men. So we looked at that and some related subjects in the previous questions. So today we are going to continue with question number 59. And question number 59 reads, تقدم أن صفات الله تعالى منها ذاتية وفعلية فما مثال صفات الذات من الكتاب. So the question is that it's been mentioned previously that the attributes of Allah are those which we say are ذاتية and those which we say are فعلية. So ذاتية, just to explain, are the attributes which are established with Allah's essence. They are eternal. Examples include like His knowledge and His hearing, His seeing, and likewise His face and His hands. These are attributes of the essence which He is always described with. And as for the attributes which are fi'liya, then they are those attributes which are tied to Allah's will. They are tied to Allah's will. For example, Allah's nuzul, Allah descends to the lowest heaven. And Allah makes al-istiwa, which is that He ascends above His throne. And al-maji, meaning Allah will come. Allah will come for the judgment, to start the judgment on the day of judgment. He will come, and he will arrive, ityan. And so these types of attributes, likewise His anger, al-ghadab, and al-farah, and likewise Him, joy, the attribute of the action of joy, which is tied to His will. All of these, they are not eternal attributes of the essence, but these are tied to His will. And so this is what we mean, sifat dhatiyah, those which He is always described with, and fi'liya, those which are actions which He does, which are tied to His will. So the question is, what are examples of attributes of the essence from the book of Allah? So the Shaykh Hafiz Rahimahullah, he goes and mentions a series of ayat from the Quran, مثل قوله تعالى بل يداه مبسوطتان. So an example of attributes of the essence, which are eternal attributes that the essence is always described with, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, rather both his hands are outstretched. This is a response to the Yahud, those who say Yadullah maghlula. They say that Allah's hand is tied. They make an accusation that Allah does not spend. And this is refuted in the Quran. And he said, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانَ. Likewise, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ حَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything will perish save his face. So this is the affirmation of a face for Allah. وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the face of your Lord shall remain possessed of majesty and honor. So we know this is the attribute of face because it has been given attributes, ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And so the face is possessed of majesty and honor. وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. In order that you may work under my eye, or under my watch, under my eye. Likewise, أَبَصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ. أَبَصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ. How seeing he is and how hearing, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how hearing he is and how seeing. And likewise, he says, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. This is the statement to Musa alayhi salam and Harun when they were on their way to Fir'aun. He said, indeed, I am with you. I'm with you. I hear and I see. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. He knows that which is ahead of them and that which is behind them, and they do not encompass anything of his knowledge. So here is the affirmation of knowledge. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah spoke to Moses directly, with direct speech. So this is the attribute of speech. وَإِذْ نَادَى رَبُّكَ مُوسَى أَنِئْتِ الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. When your Lord called out. So this is like another type of speech. There is speech, there is munadat, which means to call out openly. So when your Lord called out to Musa, saying that go to a wrongdoing people, go to the wrongdoing people. وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ. And their Lord, speaking about Adam alayhi salam and his wife, and he called out to them, their Lord called out to them, did I not prohibit you from that tree? So again, this is calling out, like a type of speech. وَيَوْمَ يُنَادِيهِمْ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أَجَبْتُمُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The day in which he will call out, and he will say, how did you, or with what did you respond to the messengers? How did you respond to the messengers? So these are a series of ayat from the Quran which establish attributes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are eternal attributes of his essence. His essence is always described with these attributes. From them, his two hands, from them, his face, from them, the attribute of eye or eyes, and hearing and seeing, and likewise knowledge, likewise speech, likewise calling out. All of these are permanent, these are attributes. The munadat, calling out, that is like a type of speech. So we look at the commentary of this from Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyin rahimahullah ta'ala, and he says that obviously, as we discussed before, that the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are divided in a number of types based upon whether they are permanent attributes of the essence or whether they are not permanent attributes of the essence. So therefore they fall into three types. The attributes of Allah from this point of view fall into three types. The first type, al-qismu al-awwal, sifatun dhatiyya. The first type are those attributes which are attributes of the essence. So these would be the permanent attributes, like the ones we just looked at. Al-qismu thani, sifatun fi'liyya. The second type are those attributes which are in fact actions which are tied to his will. They are tied to his will. So therefore they are not permanent attributes. They are not actions which in themselves are permanent, but they are tied to his will. Allah does them as and when he wills. And the third type is one which combines the two types. So they are sifatun dhatiyyah, fi'liyyah, bi'itibarain. So in other words, from both, there are certain attributes which are in fact fall into both. They are both attributes of the essence, permanent attributes, and they are also attributes which are related to will and action. Will and action. They go back to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh goes on to give examples of each of these three categories. So the first example is that he says, فَأَمَّا الصِّفَاتَ الذَّاتِيَةَ فَيُرَادُ بِهَا الصِّفَاتَ اللَّازِمَةَ لِذَاتِهِ تَعَالَى الَّتِي لَمْ يَزِلْ وَلَا يَزَالْ مُتَّصِفًا بِهَا مثل الحياة والعلم والقدرة والعزة والحكمة والعظمة والجلال والعلو ونهوها من صفات المعاني وسميت ذاتية للزومها للذات ومثل اليدين والعينين والوجه قد تسمى هذه الصفات الخبرية هذه بالصفات الخبرية. So here in this passage Ibn Thaymin says rahimahullah, what is meant by the first category, as-sifat al-lazima? So this is the word that is used, as-sifat al-lazima, meaning those attributes which are binding, which are necessary with the essence, meaning that they are eternal. The essence of Allah is always described with these attributes. So they are lazima. And these are the ones he has never ceased and will never cease to be described with. For example, life, al-hayat, life, al-ilm, knowledge, al-qudra, power, al-izza, might, al-hikmah, wisdom, al-azama, which is again grandeur or greatness, wal-jalal, which is majesty, loftiness, wal-ulu, which is highness and aboveness, and other such attributes which are what we call sifatul ma'ani. Sifatul ma'ani, meaning that these are attributes that are conceptual, they are meanings. And they are called lazima because they are permanent attributes of the essence. Likewise, the attribute of the two hands, and likewise the attribute of the two eyes, and the attribute of the face. And these are known as as-sifat al-khabariyyah. As-sifat al-khabariyyah, meaning that these are attributes which have come to us, the knowledge of them has come to us by way of reports. So in other words, we have to be informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about these attributes. We did not derive them by way of intellect, we did not derive them by reflection and thinking and speculation and guessing. These are attributes that come to us by way of reports in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah. So this is the first category. These are what we call as-sifat al-dhatiyya, and they are sifat which are lazima, right? The essence is permanently described with them. As for the second type, وأما الصفات الفعلية فهي التي تتعلق بمشيئته وليست لازمة لذاته لا باعتبار نوعها ولا باعتبار آحادها. So the second category are those which are tied to the will of Allah. So these are actions that Allah performs, but which are tied to His will. And they are not permanent attributes, or they are not permanent actions. It is not that Allah is always doing these actions and is always possessing these attributes of action. And they are not permanent, neither in their category nor in their individual instances. So what does this mean? Now, for example, it will become clear by way of the examples. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal, He made al-istiwa. Al-istiwa ala al-arsh. Allah ascended above His throne. So after He created the creation, the heavens and the earth, then He ascended above the throne. Right? So this action of ascending above the throne is not a permanent action, eternal action that Allah is always doing. Rather, it was tied to His will. And likewise, an-nuzul, wal-nuzul ila as-sama' ad-dunya, likewise descending to the lowest heaven. So Allah descends every night to the lowest heaven. It is tied to His will. It is not something that He's eternally and permanently doing at every moment. Rather, it is tied to His will. Likewise, al-fasl bayna al-ibad yawm al-qiyamah, when Allah will come to make judgment between His servants. That is something that Allah will do, that is tied to His will. So all of these attributes, we call them sifatun fi'liyah tata'allaku bi-mashi'atih. In sha'a fa'alaha wa in sha'a lam yaf'alha. These are attributes of action tied to His will. If He wills, He will do them, and if He wills, He will not do them. And so these are attributes that occur. They are individual instances of actions that occur according to Allah's will. Now we come to the third type, and as we said, the third type of attributes are those which can be considered to be from both categories. So he says, فَهِيَ الَّتِي إِذَا نَظَرْتَ إِلَىٰ نَوْعِهَا وَجَدْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يَزِلْ وَلَا يَزَالْ مُتَّصِفًا بِهَا فَهِيَ لَازِمَةٌ لِذَاتِهِ وَإِذَا نَظَرْتَ إِلَىٰ آحَادِهَا وَجَدْتَ أَنَّهَا تَتَعَلَّقُ بِمَشِيئَتِهِ وَلَيْسَتْ لَازِمَةٌ لِذَاتِهِ Okay, so here he explains the principle of what this third category is. He says that this third category is that when you look at it from the point of view of the type or the category in itself, you will see that it is a permanent attribute of the essence. It is a permanent attribute of the essence. When you look at the type or the category in general, and then when you look at the individual instances, you will find that it is connected to Allah's will. Now the example which is given is the attribute of speech, kalam. This now falls into both categories. So if we look at the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we look at it from the point of the generic speech, the type, the nawa', the genus of speech, the general speech, the category of speech, meaning that Allah speaks, then Allah eternally is one who speaks. Allah eternally is one who has the attribute of speech. But when we look at the individual instances of speech, then we see that Allah's speech is tied to His will, and that no one instance of speech is permanent or eternal. So this is very simple. Allah is described with the attribute of speech. Allah is described as one who speaks as and when He wills. In fact, this is the way to combine both things together. We say, Allah is the one who speaks. Allah is eternally. Allah has never ceased to be and will never cease to be one who speaks as and when He wills. So here we are affirming that Allah eternally has the attribute of speech, and we are affirming that Allah's speech is whenever He wills to speech, with whatever He wills to speech, with whatever He wills to speak. So therefore, this is an example of an attribute which is falls into both types. And the Shaykh goes on to explain that this is from His perfection, that Allah is eternally described as one who speaks, and likewise from His perfection is the one who speaks according to His will. So this is question number 59. And as for question number 60, so question number 59 was evidences for the sifat dhatiyah from the Qur'an. The next question is, ما مثال صفات الذاتية من السنة, من السنة. So now what are examples of Allah's attributes of the essence from the Sunnah? From the Sunnah now. So he says, كقوله سبحانه وتعالى حجابه نور لو كشفه لأحرقت سبحات وجهه من تهى إليه بصره من خلقه. So this is the hadith reported by Muslim, in which it is mentioned that Allah's hijab, Allah's covering, is of light. And if He was to unveil His covering, then the subuhat, what does it mean, subuhat? It means that the greatness and the light and the illumination and the majesty that is of his face, that it would make everything perish to where His vision extends to, which means there is no limit to His vision. So this is a hadith in which there's affirmed a number of attributes. First of all, the wajh, the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the basar, which is the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both of these are attributes of the essence. Likewise, the hadith, يَمِينُ اللَّهِ مَلْأَى لَا تَغِيدُهَا نَفَقَةٌ سَحَّاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَنْفَقَ مُنْذُ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَغْضِ مَا فِي يَمِينِهِ وَعَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ وَبِيَدِهِ الْأُخْرَى الْفَيْدُ أَوِ الْقَبْضُ يَرْفَعُ وَيَخْفِدُ. So in this hadith, which is a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, he said, the right hand of Allah is full, and spending from it in the night and the day does not diminish anything from it. Do you see what Allah has spent since He has created the heavens and the earth? Then it has not diminished anything from that which is in His right hand. And His throne is above the water. And in His other hand is al-fayd wal-qabd, meaning that is his grip, and He raises and He lowers. He raises some and He lowers others. So again, this is a hadith. We see there are attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established, in particular the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, in the hadith of istikhara, or in the before that, the hadith of ad-dajjal, inna Allah la yakhfa alaykum. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِأَعْوَرُ. Indeed, Allah, there is nothing hidden from Him, and indeed, Allah is not one-eyed. Allah is not one-eyed. And in the hadith of al-istikhara, اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك العظيم، فإنك تقدر ولا أقدر، وتعلم ولا أعلم، وأنت علام الغيوب. He said, O Allah, I seek your counsel through your knowledge, and I seek power through your power, ability through your power, and I ask you from your great bounty, for indeed you have the power and I do not have the power, I am unable. You have the knowledge, you know, and I do not know, and you are the knower of all of the unseen things. So here, the ilm of Allah, the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are attributes established for Allah. Likewise, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْعُونَ أَصَمَّ وَلَا غَائِبًا تَدْعُونَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا قَرِيبًا. Indeed, you are not invoking or calling upon one who is deaf or absent. Indeed, you are calling the one who is hearing and seeing and who is near. So, Allah is Sami' and Basir, two more attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, وَقَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُوحِيَ بِالْأَمْرِ تَكَلَّمَ بِالْوَحِي. When Allah wishes to send revelation, He speaks with تَكَلَّمَ بِالْوَحِي. So Allah speaks the revelation. And likewise, in the hadith of the resurrection, when people will be resurrected, Allah will say, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, يَا آدَمْ فَيَقُولُ لَبَّيْكَ الْحَدِيثِ. So when people will be resurrected, he will call out to Adam, يَا آدَمْ. Allah will يَقُول, He will say. So this affirms the attribute of قَوْل, of speech. And there are many other ahadith as well, other ahadith of the speech of Allah to His servants on the Day of Judgment, and likewise His speech to the people of Paradise on the Day of Judgment as well. So all of these are examples. So we've taken examples from the Qur'an, and likewise there are examples from the Sunnah which establish eternal attributes, permanent attributes, for the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, we go to Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah for some commentary upon this topic. And so he says that as-sifatu dhatiyah, as we've already established, hiya allati lam yazil wala yazal muttasifan biha wa hiya naw'an ma'nawiyyah wa khabariyyah. So he says that the attributes of Allah that He has never ceased to be and will never cease to be described with, they are two types. This is like a slightly different angle. They are ma'nawiyya, and they are khabariyya. So ma'nawiyya means that this is like a meaning, it's a concept. And khabariyya means those which have come by way of a report. So as for the first type, al-ma'nawiyya, conceptual, for example, life, al-hayat, is an attribute of the essence. But life is a meaning, it's a ma'na. And al-ilm, knowledge, is a ma'na, it's a meaning, it's conceptual. And al-qudra, and al-hikmah, and whatever is similar. Right? So these are attributes which are basically, they are meanings, which are established, which are His attributes. They are ma'nawiyya, meaning that they are conceptual. And the others, al-khabariyya, the second category, they are those attributes that we are informed about, which are also attributes of the essence, but in another way. And they are the examples like al-yadain, the two hands of Allah, and al-wajh, the face of Allah that we will see in Paradise on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and Al-Aynain, the two eyes of Allah, and whatever is similar to this, right? So these are what we call Sifat Khabariyya, whereas the first type, they are Ma'nawiyya, right? They are not things like we don't see the ilm of Allah, we don't see the wisdom of Allah, we don't see the knowledge of Allah, we don't see the generosity of Allah. These are not things that we see, because they are conceptual. They are meanings, and so some attributes are like that, And other attributes are what we call sifat khabariyya, such as his two hands, face, and eyes. So he goes on to say that Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Ta'ala, he's never ceased to have two hands, a face, two eyes, and none of these attributes did he acquire after not having them. These are eternal attributes, and he has never ceased to be living either. Likewise, never ceased to be knowing, and never ceased to be able with qudra, with power. And these attributes do not renew, they do not tatajaddad, right? They don't refresh and renew at every moment, or he didn't acquire them after he did not have them. So none of these attributes, his hearing, his seeing, his power, rather all of these, Allah has been described with them eternally. But the thing that renews and is fresh is the thing that is heard and the thing that is seen, right? So for us, for example, the Shaykh gives an example. When we hear something, when we hear a sound or a voice, does that mean that our hearing has been refreshed and renewed? Or does it mean that we just heard a voice that we didn't hear before? So it is the sound that is renewed and something, you know, right? In other words, the point being, in this example, if I hear one of you speak, it doesn't mean that my attribute of speech has somehow now refreshed and renewed at the time that I listen to your speech. No, we don't speak like this. Rather, it is the thing heard. The thing heard. So every time I hear a thing, I'm hearing, it is the things that I'm hearing which are being presented to me, right? This is what is refreshing. Otherwise, my attribute of hearing has been with me since I was born, right? We are born with, you know, hearing. So it is not that my attribute refreshed just upon hearing different voices and different sounds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has eternally had his attribute of hearing, and whatever he hears from his creation, when he hears his creation and all of his creation and whatever he creates, this does not mean that his attribute of hearing is being refreshed and renewed each time that he hears anything. This is not true. And this, in fact, is one of the arguments which are used by the people of Kalam from the Mu'tazila and other than them. You know, they say that this would imply that in the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is something being renewed and refreshed. But this is not so. This is not the case. Just by hearing different sounds at different times or seeing different things at different times, you know, I'm looking at a tree, I'm looking at a table, then later on I might see a car or something. My vision hasn't refreshed and renewed. You know, it's not being renewed and refreshed, but it's the things that I am seeing. They are different things at different moments and different times. So, but this is an argument, like I said, that the Jahmiyyah or the offshoots like the Mu'tazila try to say that this implies that that there is, and this is also binding upon the Ash'aris as well, that this is somehow implies a change in the essence of Allah and a change in his attributes. Therefore, he cannot be described with these attributes. So either the attributes must be synonymous with Allah's essence, meaning the attributes and the essence are the same thing, there's no distinction, or they say the attributes of Allah are other than Allah, right? The attributes are other than Allah. They're not actually his attributes, but they are just things from his creation. So this is, as the Shaykh explained, that is the right way to understand that. And so this brings us now to question number 61. And question number 61 is, now we've discussed the attributes of the essence. Now we go to question number 61. مَا مِثَالُ صِفَاتِ الْأَفْعَالِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ What are examples of the attributes of actions that pertain to action from the book of Allah? So, Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi rahimahullah, he says, مِثْلُ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ Then Allah turned, or he intended, desired the heaven, meaning to raise and to, you know, form the heaven.
وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ
Are they waiting for anything but Allah to come? To Allah to come? This is on the day of judgment.
وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ
They have not made a just estimation of Allah as he truly, as a true estimation, a true and just estimation. And the earth, all of it, will be in his grip on the day of judgment, and the heavens will be folded in his right hand. So these are clearly attributes of the af'al. These are actions that Allah will do. These are actions that Allah will do on the, you know, on the day of judgment.
وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ
What prevented you, speaking to Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating to that which I created with my two hands? So this is from the actions of Allah, the action of creating, an action of creating.
And likewise, وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ
We wrote for him, meaning wrote for Musa alayhi salam, in the tablets of everything, meaning of every type of guidance, of every type of law, of every type of instruction.
وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى So this again is an action of Allah, writing.
وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلْ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى So when Allah revealed himself to the mountain, he turned it, he made it into, like it crushed into particles and dust. So again, this تَجَلِّي Allah revealing himself again is an action. Is an action.
وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ
Indeed, Allah does whatever He wills. So this now is a generic proof, a general evidence that Allah has actions.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ
Allah has actions tied to His will. So these are a series of ayat from the Quran, which establish that Allah has attributes of action, meaning that there are actions Allah does which are tied to His will. So, Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah ta'ala, he comments upon these verses, these examples given by the Shaykh, and he says, قَوْلُهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ So the first example given is istawa, thumma istawa ila sama. The Shaykh goes on to explain, because as you know, the word, the verb istawa, it can be used in one of four ways. There are four ways in which it can be used. The first one is what we see in this ayah, thumma istawa ila sama. إِلَى السَّمَاءِ And here, the particle or the preposition which is used is إِلَى إِلَى ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ So when it is used with this preposition, إِلَى, then it has a particular meaning. It has the meaning of القصد, القصد. Meaning that when you استَوَى إِلَى When you say that, you know, someone istawa ila, as occurs in this ayah, thumma istawa ila, it means then he intended,
than he intended. So meaning that when he created the earth, then he turned to the heaven, he intended to address the heaven, to create and to raise the heaven. So here it means al-qasd, to turn to something with the intent towards something, al-qasd. This is when it is with the preposition ila. The second way that it can be used is وَتُعَدِّي بِعَلَى عَلَى وَيَكُونُ الْمُرَادِ مِنْهَا الْإِسْتِقْرَارِ كَمَا قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. So another way that the word istawa can be used is with the preposition ala, with the word ala. So here now this means to al-ulu, to ascend, to be above, and to be established over something. And so this is why in those ayat in the Quran, when Allah mentions his istiwa, he says thumma istawa ala al-arsh, or ar-rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa, that Allah ascended above his throne. It can only mean one thing when you use it with this particular preposition ala. The third meaning is when you use istawa with the particle wa, right? Which means and. And what this signifies, that it is with. So he gives an example, istawal ma wal khashaba. Istawal ma wal khashaba, which means that the water was level with the wood. The wood, maybe the waterings, the wood is floating on the water. So the water and the wood, istawa, that they are together, that they are level. Right? So this is with the particle wa. Istawal ma wal khashaba. The fourth way that it is used is when it is not used with any particles at all. So there's no preposition, there's no particle being used, and it's used on its own, and then it has a specific meaning, and that meaning is kamula, which means to reach one's perfection, and the example given in the Quran is when it is used in relation to Musa alayhi salam, walamma balagha ashuddahu wastawa ataynahu hukman wa ilma, which means that when Musa alayhi salam reached his, like the peak of his strength and the peak of his perfection in development and stature and so on and so forth, then we gave him wisdom and knowledge. Right? So this is now when istawa is used without any particle, without any preposition. So these are the ways in which istawa as a verb can be used. And so in this first example, the first ayah, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاء, this is a sifatu fi'lin. This is an attribute that relates to an action, right? So Allah, he intended the heaven in order to create and construct and to raise the heaven. So this is an action that Allah chose to do. Then the example, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ. Are they waiting for anything but Allah to come in clouds and with angels? So here this is al-ityan. Allah will come, or he will arrive on the day of judgment. Likewise, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا, that your Lord will come and the angels likewise rank in rows, rows upon rows. So these two actions, al-ityan wal-maji', These will happen on the Day of Judgment. They are tied to Allah's will. And likewise, Allah gripping the earth and folding the heavens, this will happen on the Day of Judgment. These two are actions tied to Allah's will. So, likewise, the Shaykh goes on to explain that Allah Azza wa Jal, He described Himself that He is, that when He described Himself as the Creator, when He says that He is a Khaliq, He did not say, Biyaday, with my hands. Right? He did not say that except in relation to Adam alayhi salam. Except in relation to Adam alayhi salam in this particular ayah that we mentioned earlier. And there is another hadith, not a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's actually ascribed or it's reported from some of the Salaf. أن الله لم يباشر شيئا من خلقه بيده إلا ثلاثة خلق آدم بيده وكتب التوراة لموسى عليه السلام بيده وخلق جنة عدن بيده. That Allah did not create anything with His hand except three. He created Adam with His hand. He wrote the Torah of Musa for Musa عليه السلام with His hand, and He planted paradise, meaning with what is in paradise, with his hand. So all of these are attributes of action. They are actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does according to His will. And then the example, وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that we wrote for Musa alayhi salam everything that the messengers are in need of al-bayan, of the explanation and the clarification of all things. Likewise, فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى, when Allah unveiled Himself or showed Himself to the mountain, He made it into, it returned into dust. So all of these are examples, and the final example was إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. This is a general verse that covers everything that we've mentioned, because it mentions indeed Allah does whatever He wills. So this is a generic verse that covers all of Allah's actions tied to His will. The Shaykh finishes on a point, and he says that this is what is believed, unlike the people of innovation, because the people of innovation, they try to present the Lord and the Creator as if He is a jamad. Jamad meaning something that is inanimate, without life, that does not have any actions, does not have any speech, does not have any will, is not able to speak and act. So it's as if they liken Allah Azza wa Jal, they resemble Allah Azza wa Jal as something which is inanimate. Right? What are inanimate things? Inanimate things are things without life. The wall. The wall does not have a will. It does not speak. It does not act. The stone does not have a will. Right? These are inanimate things. They do not have life. So to these people who deny the names and the attributes and the actions of Allah, they are likening Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the inanimate things. So the Shaykh says, however, as for the people of the sound creed and the sound belief, they believe in Allah's attributes, which are ذاتية and لازمة, the permanent attributes of Allah's essence, like hearing and seeing and knowledge and life and wisdom and face and hands. And likewise, they believe in His sifat فعلية, right, which are attributes of action tied to His will. And this is from His perfection. This is from His perfection, that the Creator speaks and acts, and this is necessary because this is from the perfection of life. So this is what is believed by the people of Tawheed and Sunnah. And so what we'll do is we'll conclude with that for today's lesson, and we'll continue with the remainder in the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. So today we covered attributes of the essence, and we covered attributes of which are the attributes of Allah's actions, and we looked at evidences from both the Quran and likewise from the Sunnah, and we will continue that discussion looking at evidences from the Sunnah for the attributes of action for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next lesson. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.